not sure, you know, is that completely believable? And so that's what we're going to tackle today, right? And today we're going to see one of the reasons why we tend to get into that space. Familiarity. Familiarity can breed contempt and unbelief. So contempt, if you're not sure what that word means, it means to look down or to think less of a certain person. And so when you're familiar with that person, that could happen, right? Let me give you a couple examples of how familiarity can breed contempt. Who's this guy? Okay, Francis Chan, many of us know him, famous celebrity pastor, right? When you get near Francis Chan, you're like, oh, it's Francis Chan, it's Francis Chan. And you, your heart might beat a little faster, you might start sweating a little bit, because he's a famous guy, okay? And so none of us hang out with Francis Chan on a regular basis. Anyone here related to Francis Chan? No, no one. So we look at the distance, we're not familiar with him. All we know are his videos and things like that. And there's this celebrity status. Who is this guy? That guy's way more good looking, right? Faster row, he's got hair. So, so did you say he's not having it much longer? Did someone say that? All right, so that's Pastor Roe. How many of you guys here, your heart beat or your hands start sweating when you see him? Anyone? Oh, some right there? Okay, unless you're his wife, your heart really shouldn't be beating fast when you see him, okay? But Pastor Roe, I go to a lot of churches. I work with a lot of pastors. And when I go there, some of their kids will say, oh, I heard Pastor Roe goes to your church. You're so blessed. And, you know, they have this idea of like, wow, Pastor Roe. Most of you guys just go like, oh yeah, that's Pastor Roe, right? We're so familiar with him that it breeds contempt. We just go, oh yeah, we see him like, you know, a couple times a week. We're used to him. He doesn't have that kind of celebrity status that other people in other churches might have. And so you could see how familiarity breeds contempt. Here's another example. Who's this lady? Who said that? Eliza? All right. Lottie Moon, she is really, really famous, okay? She is the missionary that went to China. Every Christmas, the Southern Baptist churches raise money in the name of Lottie Moon. It's called the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. I mean, this thing runs in the hundreds of millions. And so we raise the money so that we can send it to missionaries who go international. Right, so the money that we collect in this church, a good chunk of it, goes to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So she is really famous. People really look up to her because she spent her entire life in China loving upon the Chinese people. What about this guy? This is Joe! This is Joe! Okay. Joe was also a missionary. He was a missionary in Taiwan. How many of you guys knew that? Just a tiny little bit, okay? Joe was also a missionary. He went to the Chinese people, okay, in Taiwan. Why don't we feel the same to him as we feel like Lottie Moon? Anyone here gathering money on Christmas, calling it Joe Gardner Christmas offering? No, nobody does that. See, because we know Joe, because we're so familiar with him, right? Even though he has all these things in his history, we just see him as, oh yeah, it's just Joe. So familiarity can breed contempt. Here's one last one. Who's this band? Hillsong. We listen to their song all the time. In fact, I think one of the songs that we sing on Sunday mornings are mostly Hillsong songs. Really famous, right? We want to go to their concert. We want to listen to their songs. Everyone's like, oh, it's Hillsong, it's Hillsong. What about this one? Not Hillsong? This is our youth band, okay? Yes, I love that. Let's cheer for them. Okay, maybe you don't get to buy tickets to go to their concert anytime soon, but this particular one was a joint praise night between the Grace Chinese Baptist in the South Side, and a couple of the Korean churches. This was very recent, just a few months ago. Nobody's going up to them saying, oh, please sign my, you know, autograph, or please sign this CD I have of your songs. No one's doing that because they're not Hillsong. They're not celebrity. They're not that wow factor, right? You see these kids every day at church. You probably look down on them a little bit, right? Because they're acting up on class or whatever. But familiarity breeds content. And the reason I show you all these examples is because our life with Christ Jesus, it can happen the same way, right? We can look at Jesus and we can say, oh yeah, I read about him on Sunday. I read stuff in his word and I hear his stories. I listen about him in sermons. And so you start getting so familiar with Jesus that you start breeding contempt. Contempt is saying, oh yeah, he's just God's son, right? He's just a guy who died for our sins. No big deal. And so how this might look in our daily church life could be like this. I grew up in the church. I know everything about scripture. I'm so familiar with Bible passages, I can recite it to you. But would you say they have a heart that is in awe of Christ, a heart that is in the wonder of God? Many of us aren't, because you've grown up in church, you're so familiar with Jesus that God no longer has that awe factor, right? Maybe you grew outside of church and you've heard bits and pieces about Jesus. And so your mind, your mental picture of who Jesus is just bits and pieces. And you've heard it on media, you've heard it on the news, you've seen it on newspaper during Christmas time. You see all these things. And so you're so familiar with it that you just kind of go, oh yeah, that's something that Christians celebrate, that Jesus was born, right? So there's familiarity that breeds contempt. Maybe you are a Christian who's been 10, 20, 30 years in, and you just kind of go through the motion. You're like, okay, Sunday, 9 o'clock, need to drive to church, hear something about Jesus, then go for lunch. And so familiarity, the going through the motions and all of those ends up being detrimental. And we're going to look at a passage today where our familiarity with Jesus actually ends up being a trap. It's detrimental to our spiritual life because we start growing contempt for Jesus Christ. We start having doubts for Christ. And in certain cases, bad case scenario, it goes into unbelief where you just straight up reject Jesus. Okay? So that's what we're going to go into today. And so as we're going through this passage, we need to be asking ourselves, where am I with my spiritual health? Do I still have a sense of awe and wonder of Jesus? Or am I so familiar with him that my spiritual life is dull and maybe in many cases a dead spiritual life? Right, that's not where Christ wants us, and that's why we have passages like this today to go through it. Okay, so let me set up the context. We're going to be Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. Okay, Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. And we're going to go through this, and let me set up the context for us. Mark 5, Jesus was going back-to-back miracles, right? If you guys will remember Mark chapter 5, Jesus was handling and tackling the three D's, the three incurables. What's the first D? Anyone remember? Demons, demon possession. Demon possession is not curable. Second D, anyone remember? Diseases. There are certain diseases that even today with our modern technology and medicine, we're not able to cure, right? And the third, which is ultimately all of us are going to face, what's the third D? Death. All right, three incurables, these demons, diseases, and death. And Jesus showed he had power over all of those. Now, today, we're going to see Jesus going to his hometown. His hometown is really small. There's maybe only 500 people there. He's going to be around his relatives. He's going to be around his immediate family. He's going to be around people who have seen him growing up his whole life. Okay, so these people know him. These people are very familiar with the person of Jesus Christ. And I want to see the response they have to him. Because they were so familiar with Jesus, it actually was detrimental to their spiritual life. Okay, and I hope none of us are here in that situation today. So the question we want to ask is, number one, what caused them to be contempt and have unbelief in Jesus, right? What form of familiarity was it that caused them to stumble that way? And secondly, I want us to ask the question of, if that is the case, if we fall into the trap of unbelief and contempt and doubt so easily, what is God's prescription for how to get out of it, right? What is God's prescription for how can we battle and How can we fight unbelief or doubts or lack of faith? So that's what we're going to dive into today. So turn to Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." He was amazed at their lack of faith. He was amazed at their lack of faith. In many ways, this passage is so bizarre to me. You would think that people who are the most familiar with Jesus would be the ones that would embrace his messiahship. The first, right? Because they know him, they've seen the things he's done. But no, look at their initial reaction. So we're given the context. It says Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and so all his home people are there, they're listening to him. Their first reaction was amazement, right? It says in verse 2, many who heard him were amazed. Why were they amazed? It goes on to tell us, he says, "Where did this man get these things?" They're like, wow, how did Jesus get these things? What's this wisdom that has been given to him? How is this guy so wise? They're amazed by his wisdom. And then they say, "What are these remarkable miracles he is performing?" Right? So they hear Jesus teaching, they're amazed by it. They hear his wisdom, they're amazed by it. They see him performing miracles, they're amazed by it. Let me ask you, if you were sitting in there and you saw all these things, what would your reaction be? I think it would be amazement, right? Like, wow, who is this guy? But their amazement quickly turned into offense. They actually took offense at Jesus. This is what they said. "Isn't this the carpenter?" Right? "Isn't this the blue-collar guy? I have furniture in my house, which he and his father Joseph built. This dude is just a carpenter. He's not even a legitimate rabbi. He doesn't have academic credentials. He didn't study under any famous rabbi. He's just a carpenter." Then they said, "Isn't this Mary's son?" Okay, in the Jewish culture, you don't call someone by the mother of. You call them the son to the father of. So they should have called him Jesus, the son of Joseph. But they called him Mary's son. There is a tone of insult here. By them doing this, there is an insinuation that Jesus' birth isn't exactly legitimate, that Jesus' birth isn't exactly the good kind of birth. And we know this from Scripture to be true. Jesus was born Virgin Mary. Joseph wasn't his biological dad. It was the Holy Spirit that impregnated her. But in their mind, oh, Mary just went and fooled around with some guy and got pregnant before she was married. And so they insulted him by calling him Mary's son. Then they went on and said, well, we know James, we know Joseph, we know Judah, we know Simon. And did you guys know Jesus has sisters? It says, his sisters are here. We know all these kids. They grew up with us. We saw them when they were in their diapers till they're in their terrible teens and as an adult. Right? We know this guy. He's one of us. How could he be so bold? How dare he say he is the prophesied Messiah to come and save the entire world? So they took offense at him. It led them to unbelief. We see the impact here, right? Jesus couldn't do miracles. It says in verse 5, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. I don't know how much lack of faith it takes for Jesus to be amazed, right? He's like, he's amazed at their lack of faith. I think that's a tough question to ask. I always wonder, you know, if Jesus was here today, physically here, and he looked at Grace Chinese Baptist Church, would he be amazed at our faith-filled community, or would he be amazed at our lack of faith? I don't know. That's a good question that we should always be struggling through as a community, as a church, right? Because our desire isn't to please anyone other than Christ Jesus. He's our measuring stick. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so his hometown people, his peeps, his relatives, his siblings, none of them wanted to seek him, right? At this point in history, actually, they thought he was crazy. They rejected Jesus. But later on, we see that they actually became church leaders because of Christ's resurrection. But at this point in history, they just had a lack of faith in Christ Jesus. And we're very told very clearly that it is impossible to please God, right? And so that question not only applies to us as a community of faith, we want to ask the question personally. If Jesus was sitting right beside you right now and he looked at you, what would he say? Would he be amazed at your faith-filled life, faith that is placed in him, or a faith that is lack? Would he be amazed at your lack of faith? Sometimes I think about that. And this passage is meant to go there. It's meant to go deep and ask us those uncomfortable questions. What is your faith like? Would Jesus be amazed in a good way or a bad way? And so this passage here tells us that we can be amazed by Jesus, yet still choose unbelief. These people saw his teaching. These people saw his wisdom. These people saw Jesus performing miracles. They were amazed by him, but yet still chose unbelief. Darn free will, you know. Sometimes I think to myself, this is terrible. Why can't God just make us love him, right? That you would be in such a better place loving God and being in his presence. But he gives us the option to choose. And I hope this morning, as we're going through this passage, that you choose Jesus, that you choose faith, that you don't choose to go down the path where God can't do anything in your life because of your lack of faith in him. So I want to show us this. Oops. You should have this in your bulletin. This bulletin is called When Doubt Becomes Unbelief. And I want to give this out to you as a resource because I know some of you are struggling with this, so I want to help you with trying to troubleshoot what's going on in your life. Or you may know someone in your midst, your friends, your kids, your spouse, whoever it is that may be struggling with this, right? They've been around Christians long enough to see God working in their lives. They've been around the Christian community long enough to see the goodness that is in it. But yet, they still have doubts, or yet they still have unbelief, yet they still have a lack of faith. So these are three things that we can think about. Why is that happening? The first one could be an unrealistic attitude to faith. Many of us here, and myself included, want 100% answers. There needs to be no mystery in the Bible. I need to understand God 100% for me to believe and put my 100% faith in Jesus Christ. Right, that's just unrealistic. It would be unrealistic to have that kind of attitude towards faith. Faith comes by what? Hearing. We walk by faith, not by sight. Right? There's so many things in Scripture that says, if you know the character of God, you can have faith in him. You don't need to figure God out 100% before you place your faith in him. And so that might be something you're really struggling with. You need 100% before you say, yes, I will accept Christ, or yes, I will put my faith in Jesus. That's just not realistic, okay? My kind of something I think about sometimes is I have all these questions I have about Jesus and about God and about the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make me go into the realm of unbelief, okay? So I don't reject Jesus. I don't say I don't believe in God. But all these questions that I have, I look forward to when I go to heaven with Christ. And I get to offload all these questions and say, you know, Jesus, there's all these mysteries in Scripture that you never gave us satisfactory answers for. Let me ask you, can you answer this for me? And so that's something that I really long to do when I'm with Christ. The second thing is unbelief may come through a morbid preoccupation with doubt. Okay, all of us have doubt. It's healthy. It's within the context of faith, right? We want to be sure of our faith. Sometimes we have doubts. But if you are so preoccupied with it that it leads you to unbelief, that's not a healthy place to be in. And so picture this as in, like, you get a white piece of paper and there's a black dot on that white piece of paper, right? The white piece of paper is God working in your life. You see Him, you experience Him, you see things that are going on, you know your heart and mind and soul is transforming into the likeness of Christ. All that is the white stuff, but you got one black dot that you're just so stuck on, and you just focus on that black dot every single hour and day, and it turns into unbelief. And so you miss out on all the white stuff that God is doing in your life, and you say, you know what? Because of that one black dot, I'm gonna reject Christ. That's not the right way to go either, people. Look at all the things that God are doing in your life and don't get so stuck on that black thing. Okay, the third one is unbelief may come through an immature faith. The good way to put this is you're a young Christian, you're learning, you're drinking milk, you're trying to grow. The bad way to put it is you're just a lazy Christian. You don't put time into Scripture, you don't put time into prayer, you don't put time into knowing who God is. And so you're unbelief and your doubts come from just not knowing God, right? If you read this, it talks about, the writer talks about when he was younger, a lot of things that gave him doubts, he no longer struggles with because he's gotten into Scripture, he's learned about God, he knows about God's character. And so as you grow in your faith, you start discovering things that may have given you doubt when you were younger, but it's no longer something you struggle with. And so you got to just put in that hard work of going into Scripture, okay? So the last part is this. To battle contempt and unbelief, we have to be amazed by the magnificence of Jesus. At the end of the day, we got to realize how big God is. At the end of the day, we got to realize how awesome God is. At the end of the day, we have to realize how magnificent He is. That will help us battle contempt and unbelief. So I actually have a short video I want to watch. So make sure the guys at the back have the volume on, but this short little video just gives you a fuller picture of who Jesus is. Okay, all of us have a picture of Christ, but I want us to have a fuller picture of that, and then I'm going to leave us with a homework for today.
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him. But yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
Man, Jesus is all that and more. No words can box him in. If that doesn't amaze you of who Jesus Christ is, I don't know what will. So here's what we would like to do. You should have this. It's on the back page of that handout in your bulletin. It's a poster. This hangs in the dining room of my house. It says, and he is called. And these are all the names that Scripture references Jesus with. Your homework for this week is to pick three of these names in here and look them up in Scripture and discover something new about Christ Jesus. Okay? For me, it says Jesus is the bishop of souls. I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. How is Jesus called that? I'm going to research that. It says Jesus is the rose of Sharon. What does that mean? I'm going to go look it up. It says Jesus is the day spring. And so for me, those are the three words I'm going to look up this week for me to be in awe and to expand my view of who Jesus is, who, what he's done for us, what are the works of Christ. And so I want to have this mindset that we are a community that is constantly growing in our knowledge and in our awe of who Jesus is. Don't settle for Sunday school kids' stories about who Jesus is, okay? That's for kids. You guys are adults and teens. Grow in your knowledge of who Christ is. Make that a lifelong goal. And so this will help you, okay? Work through this list and discover things about Jesus that you have may never discover before. Don't fall into the trap of familiarity where you start growing contempt and unbelief or doubt against Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good, God. We thank you, Lord, for passages like this that feel sometimes, Lord, like a kick in the butt because we are so familiar with our routines and our Christian life, Lord, sometimes is just dull and dead. And I pray, Lord, that today's passage reminds us that you are a great, magnificent, limitless, awesome God. Help us grow in our knowledge in you. Help us love you and deepen our love for you. Help us as a community, God, encourage each other on and spur each other on in our knowledge of Christ Jesus, that we may grow in our fascination of you till the day we are with you again in heaven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.